Hello and welcome to The L, a podcast that explores body positivity, health at every size, and what it means to be size human. I'm your host, Lana, co-creator of The L, an unconventional personal trainer, yoga instructor, and wellness junkie. This is episode 16, Unleash Your Inner Athlete with Born to Reign Athletics. No action should be taken solely on the contents of this podcast. Always consult your physician or qualified healthcare professional on any matters regarding your health or on any opinions expressed within this podcast. Born to Reign Athletics is about unleashing your inner strength and celebrating your power to reign over your life, your body, and your spirit in a healthy way. Created by Krista Henderson and inspired by her own experience, Born to Reign Athletics provides information, tools, and resources dedicated to motivating and celebrating plus-size women who embrace an athletic lifestyle. Krista Henderson is an award-winning, multi-sport, plus-size athlete. She began her athletic career in 2004 when her fitness director recommended she train like an athlete in response to her commitment to living an active and healthy lifestyle. This advice dramatically shifted Krista away from the diet and exercise mentality where she constantly felt the need to quote-unquote fix herself by solely focusing on losing weight. This fresh new approach set Krista on a path of changing the way she lived, which resulted in becoming happier and healthier. Since then, Krista has earned her certification as a Johnny G spin instructor and CanFit Pro personal trainer. She has coached athletes of all body shapes and abilities and has competed in over 20 races, triathlon, duathlon, half marathon, and rowing. Through this journey, Krista has learned some key lessons and is now on a mission to share them and inspire other plus-size women to live a healthy life by tapping into their inner athlete. Thank you for responding to my email and being open to letting me interview you. I know a little bit about Born to Reign Athletics, but I guess I'd like to start off with that. Can you explain to our listeners what Born to Reign Athletics is and how it came about?
So for me, Born to Reign Athletics is, you know, 8-9 years in the making in terms of creating a destination online where women can come, they can learn, they can celebrate one another, and really having a bit of a shift in the way that they live their life and how they, you know, choose to remain healthy or how they choose to become healthy. I'm a big believer that the athletic lifestyle is a great way to do it because I think everything that you do serves for a greater purpose other than the number that, you know, so many of us have cared about, the number on the scale. Mm. And so there really wasn't anything out there. And I mean, I started my athletics back in 2004. There really was no social media back then. And it took a number of years for me to go through all the experiences that I did, my different challenges, my different accomplishments. And a part of it is also a bit of a burnout as well. I just was physically burnt out and mentally burnt out. But I always had this desire of wanting to create a place where women could come, they can share, they can learn, they can be inspired. And that's what Born to Reign Athletics is about. You know, it's very uncommon to hear somebody talk about a plus size woman being athletic. And while I believe that a lot of times the training is exactly the same for any other athlete with modifications to work for your skill level, the principles are still there, but nobody ever talks about it or nobody talks about, you know, what things to consider as being a plus size athlete. Mm-hmm. You know, and one of the big hot topics we've had now is sort of, you know, if you're going to go into cycling, are there bike weight limits? And so we did a whole piece on that. And so really wanting to demystify the fact that plus size people don't work out, but more importantly, that they want to do more than just work out. They actually want to be athletic. And having that support system there online is a way to really reach people on a global level.
So this kind of leads into, I guess, more about your story. When did you first become larger bodied? Have you always been larger bodied?
I have been a larger body person or a plus size person pretty much a big portion of my life. My earliest memories of sort of, you know, being aware that I'm larger than other people and experiencing some shame or bullying as a result of it definitely go back into grade school. And it just continued to carry throughout high school. And I had a couple moments between high school and heading into university where I lost some weight, but it was definitely from some serious dieting and restriction. And I certainly wasn't happy. But, you know, my weight sort of just slowly continued to grow and grow. And I've learned a lot about myself, you know, through the process. I've learned that I am an emotional eater. I do have a hard time, or I've had a hard time in the past coping with things, and turning to food for me was the way to deal with my feelings. And I never talked about it, you know, and some people have other outlets, you know, and some of them are healthy and some of them are unhealthy. But for me, food was a way for me to really deal with the difficult things that I was experiencing in my life as I was growing up. I definitely carried a lot of low self-esteem as a result of it. I never felt like I belonged and fit in. And it was definitely tough. But that is in my past. And I've learned to deal with those things, or I've learned to accept them. And really, things started to change for me probably around 2002, 2003. I was starting to want to really, you know, I was still in diet mode. I still wanted to lose the weight, but I was starting to get help for wanting to be healthy. And things really changed for me in 2004.
Was there an event that made you kind of let go of dieting, or was it a slow process?
It was definitely a slow process. So for me, 2004 was the year I did my first triathlon. And after it, I had found my triathlon coach and we worked together for a number of years. And even in that coaching relationship, you know, I gave him a run for his money. I mean, you know, I learned from him, but it was a very slow process. And the analogy I give is like, it's almost like an onion and you're peeling away different layers. And I learned a lot about myself. I learned that I overcompensated in other areas of my life. And I tried to be perfect in other areas of my life because I felt so crappy about being, you know, plus size or large bodied. And it took a lot of exposure and time. And I, maybe I'm a slow learner, or maybe it's just who I am. And it's just sort of what I was going through at the time. But eventually it got through. It definitely got through, which is, don't worry about the weight. Don't worry about the number on the scale. Focus on the healthy habits. And I know that sounds very cliche, but if you focus on why you're doing the workout and the purpose of the workout, mm-hmm. and I like linking my workouts to something bigger, like a race or an event, that really changes my mindset because I want to be prepared for that. And food would be the same thing. It's like you eat this because you want to be fueled for your workout. I mean, I was doing double workouts some days. I needed to be ready and be prepared. So for me, it was a slow process. It took a few years once I was working with the triathlon coach. But eventually I definitely had that transition. And, you know, that's what started me sort of thinking about creating something and giving back to the world and giving back to the community, and started teaching spinning classes and wanting to show other people anybody can do it. You know, it's actually physically possible to do it and mentally possible to do it.
And your story actually kind of speaks to my own. I'm kind of in a different sequence because I started, okay, so we had moved to Hawaii. We had orders to Hawaii. I was kind of stayed off anything diet because my lap band had broke and I just had given up on the whole dieting thing to give myself a little bit to adjust to where we are living. But then I really got back on the diet train. Well, in the process, I started running. I started doing 5Ks, that kind of thing. I used Jeff Galloway's method of the walk run. And I ended up competing in mud runs, did a couple half marathons. And I was doing really well, but I think the reason that I was doing those things, I was still a large athlete. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, 200 pounds, but I was all like, that's my fighting weight. Maybe a little light for my fighting weight because I was kind of not eating enough. But I remember thinking as I was doing my runs, I was just running out of energy, but I had this other goal to weigh this stupid, you know, weight, but I wonder how much better I would have done if I had fueled my body for those runs, because I am actually pretty athletic, but I think I hurt myself so much by starving myself. So I kind of get that. I always liked the idea of having a goal, like a half marathon to train for, because it almost didn't make exercise all about burning calories, but I like that goal.
Yeah, I'm the same way. And I think that's one of the problems with the fitness industry is that, you know, it has created such an image that fitness is about burning calories versus fitness really is about feeling good. I mean, what I do is, you know, it's technically considered fitness, but I just choose to use different words because it has a different image and connotation to it. It's all about brand and image. So it's just a shame, though, that that is sort of the perception that people have when they think about fitness, is that it's about burning calories.
Yes.
And that's the purpose of it.
Now, let's say, and let's take this a step further, let's say that anybody who is more on the couch, whether they're large or small or whatever, but they want to do, say, a triathlon, or they have that goal of a half marathon or a swim, where can they go to find resources to start that journey?
That's a great question. So there's definitely a lot of resources out there. And one of the purposes, and this isn't meant to be shameless promotion, but one of the purposes of the website is to have those resources so that people know where to go. So there's a number of places that I've listed on the website, whether it's looking for a body positive fitness trainer, whether it's looking for some online coaching support. Those are a few of the resources that I put on the website. And one of the articles that I wrote, and it was, I just passed a year on the website, and I remember thinking about what are the key things that I need to have there when I launched the website. And one of them was how to find your trainer or how to find your coach, and what are the questions that you want to ask? Because I think everybody wants to have a trainer that they can trust and that they don't feel like they're ever going to be judged or shamed upon for anything, because nobody's perfect. And, you know, trust me, trainers feel it just as much. I mean, my God, trainers are always ripping on one another if they even step a little out of their, you know, perfect image of what they're supposed to be. So they understand it, but really trying to find the one that aligns with you and your values and how you want to be treated and the respect that you deserve. That's one of the articles that I wrote on the website. And finding that person to help you, and I do think you need support when you're starting out, is crucial, because you're really going through a big change, but you're going to do it in small steps. And you need somebody who can guide you because they've been there and they know how to do it and they know what works. Mm-hmm. And it's great to have support from family and friends, but, you know, they tend to come on as more as cheerleader type of supporters. You need somebody that I think has, you know, a little bit more of that technical aspect, you know, who can tell, you know, when you're hitting a wall or what's happening in your workouts based on the effort that you're giving, and help you through those different challenges. And so between those articles and those resources on the site, hoping that I'm giving the guidance for people as to sort of how to start their journey and look for somebody that can support them.
Now, after kind of going through all of this and creating this website, how do you feel about your body now?
So for me, you know, the way that I feel about my body is it's my body and it's my business. That's basically it.
Yeah.
You know, I've had a lot of different experiences. And here's the thing. It doesn't matter what I do. There will always be somebody who criticizes, mm-hmm. right? There will always be those people out there. I remember a time when I was at a wellness show in Toronto and I was talking to a gentleman, and I was looking at buying this bean sprouter contraption type of thing. And he asked me the question. He's like, you know, I don't know if you have any control over your weight or not. And I'm thinking, oh, where's this going? And the bottom line is that people just, unfortunately, they just make their judgments based on what they see at that exact moment. They don't know anything about you. They don't know anything about your process or your journey or where you are in your journey. And I think for me, that was sort of a defining moment where I'm just like, you know what? It doesn't matter what I do or it doesn't matter what I say to you. I'm never going to please you. And so why am I getting all worked up about it? All I really have to care about is what I think about myself. And I have my own goals of what I want to achieve and accomplish. And I always just sort of like to think that I'm putting myself at the forefront, and I focus on that. There are things that I, for sure, from an athletic perspective, that I want to achieve. And certainly it'll be a little easier if I weighed less, but I'm not doing it from a place of feeling like I have to fix myself. And I think that's the difference. I know who I am. I know what my body is. This is who I am. I'm comfortable in it. I've accepted it. it doesn't mean that I don't want to make improvements to it for athletic reasons, but it's not coming from that place of feeling shame anymore. You know, like, I own my body. I created it. I know I created it with some unhealthy habits, and I own it, and I'm just moving on with it.
I think that's a very honest statement, especially when you say, because I had thought the same thing, but I never voiced it, was that I would be faster if I weighed less. But at the same time, it's like I knew that if I went that route, it was going to be bad. Because if I tried to weigh less, then I would have to take in less food, right? But then I'd have less energy, so I'd actually be slower.
I remember one year, I think I wanted to move up either to the next level of a race. I can't remember if it was maybe going to an Olympic distance. And I remember thinking, all right, if I reach a certain weight, then I'll do it because I'll be faster. It'll be free speed and I'll be faster. And I never did the race because once I got into that moment of, all right, I really got to, you know, buckle down, cut it back. And, you know, it becomes that diet mentality.
Yes.
And going into diet mentality, like I'm sure a lot of people, just has a total reverse effect on what you're trying to achieve. And it seems so simple. And you know, I'm sure there's some big fancy psychological syndrome associated with this. But it's that whole, you know, when you tell somebody don't do it, they want to do it. And it's that exact same thing. Like, you know, I never end up doing the race, and because I never achieved it, and I punish myself by not doing it anyhow. And it causes so much negative energy to be focusing that way. And I'm just like, you know what? I don't have time for that. I wholeheartedly believe, Lana, that if I focus on my healthy goals, the things that support me every day, and you know, I have some food intolerances that I've learned of in the last couple of years that has been really difficult for me. I mean, you know, I should be staying away from gluten, and it's tough. It's really tough for me, and that does set me back. So, you know, focusing on, okay, the things that I know will support me is more important to me. And I know that it will lead me to the athletic accomplishments that I want to achieve.
So putting your energy into what you can do rather than something negative.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So now here's another question, because, you know, I got this a lot and I'm wondering how you feel about this. It always comes up with larger bodied athletes, and I'm sure you know where I'm going with this: joints. What do you think about that? Because it's almost like a scare tactic. Don't run because you'll hurt your joints. I guess, how do you feel about that?
Well, a couple things. I actually don't run in my triathlons. I walk them. So I can't answer the running question. I think joints is an issue for anybody of any size and weight. Like, I mean, I'm not an exercise physiologist. I can't really speak to that confidently. I think that there's nothing wrong with starting your fitness and your athletics in non-weight bearing activities, because it makes it a better experience. It's not that it's easy, it just makes it a better experience. I chose triathlon because I wanted something hard, but ironically, it actually, for me, is a sport that's very easy on my joints, because I'm swimming, I'm cycling, and my running is actually walking. So, you know, it was kind to my body in that aspect of it. It's a difficult question for me to answer because I don't really have a ton of experience on it. And I just like to think that from a common sense perspective, that pounding on your joints, regardless of your weight, is going to take its toll on your body.
Yeah.
I mean, I think everybody has to make that decision with their eyes wide open, that, you know, if they're going to go into running, it, you know, it's going to take a pounding on their joints, but if they love it, why would you give it up? Or maybe you can modify it a certain way. It is so hard for people, I think, to find something that they love, that they want to consistently do. So if you find something and you're fine with it and you're not having issues with it, then why not do it?
Yeah.
And you'll probably have some doctor call in and say that. Advice. And that's why I have my disclaimer that I'm not an exercise physiologist.
Hey, that's all right, because I get some crazy comments too. Well, I think that's awesome, because it is, you're right. I think it's kind of hard to find something that you can do consistently, especially when you've been in that diet mindset, because you exercise because you're supposed to and for calories, where just really enjoying that movement, you know, that's kind of hard to find, but you got to get out of that diet mentality first.
Yeah.
What competitions and goals do you have coming up?
So for myself this year, there is, you know, in triathlon for open water swim, I'm horrible at sighting. I'm always going off course. You know, and sometimes I'm even better as a backstroke swimmer. Like, it's just, I'm not trying to create illusions of what kind of athlete I am. I'm very back of pack on the swim. But there's an open water swim event in Toronto, in Lake Ontario, that I really like to do. It's not until August, so I have lots of time to train for it. You know, and there's different distances. There's 750. I think there's 1.5, which is probably for people training for Ironman. And then I think they have the full distance, which is almost the 4 kilometers. And the last time I did a really long distance, I was actually in Lake Placid. I was doing the Ironman course there. And it's 2 loops in Mirror Lake, but it's all roped off. So all I had to do was look at the rope when I stuck my head underwater, and it's fantastic. So I'm looking to train for that because I'd like to be better at my open water swimming. And that's been a big one, or that's the one I'm sort of focusing on this year. Since launching the website, I've definitely stepped back a little bit in my athletics. I mean, it's been hard for me to find the balance of my time between work and the website and training, and that's been a whole new experience for me. So I'm not doing like a slew of triathlon races this year, but I'm hoping that going into next summer, I'll be back doing more of what I normally do, which is racing all through the summertime.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Can you let our listeners know where they can find you?
Absolutely. So go to the main website, which is borntorainathletics.com. And Rain is spelled R-E-I-G-N, as in reigning over your body. And from there, you'll be able to see where I am on all the social networks, including Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook, Twitter. And then, of course, on the website is the blog as well, in terms of and all the resources that we have for helping athletes get started.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining me, Krista. It's been fun.
Thank you so much, Lynn. I appreciate it.
We've run out of time. Make sure to hit subscribe on iTunes and rate the show. Send questions and comments to Lana at l-wellness-studio.com. Again, that's L-A-N-A at l-wellness-studio.com. Friend me on Facebook, Lana Simmons. Follow me on Twitter at Lana Beyond Scale. And check out the website at www.l-wellness-studio.com.